Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Monday, June 24th, 2013. I am so happy to be with you today. Today we have a very special guest with us. All of my guests are special, but this particular guest, she does something that I have to say gives her such a unique quality and such a special place as one of our guests on the show. Her name is Molly Fompandas, I hope I said that right, Fompandas, and she is an author, a poet, a speaker, a marketer. She's a CEO of Mali Creative, and she has done something that a lot of us probably wish we could do and would love to do, but it takes so much courage to do. She wrote her life story, her memoirs, and I don't know about many of you, but that takes a lot of courage, that takes a lot of heart, that takes a lot of spirit. She has traveled the United States to share her knowledge and insight on numerous things. She, through Mali Creative, she helps individuals tap into that special uniqueness of themselves. And if they, too, want to put it down on paper, she gives them the tools necessary to be able to do this. She has done something also that a lot of us probably wouldn't understand, and that is she has transitioned from being from another country and trying to learn the ways of this country, as well as holding on to the heritage that she's come to know from her childhood. Please allow me the opportunity to bring to you Miss Molly Fompandas. I apologize. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Can you please tell me how to properly pronounce your name?
No problem. It's Mali Fompandas.
Fompandas. Okay, great. Yes. Thank you. I'm
so
not going to forget
that. Off.
Yes, I was, but I'm not going to forget that. Now, I have to tell you, I have your book. I started to read your book, and I like to breeze through books really quickly. But you know what? Your book would not allow me to do that. It really wouldn't. Your book made me really sit down and really truly think and look at myself. And I am just in awe at what you've done in your book. And I'm just amazed. And I'm like, I want to know so much more about her. And her story is just wonderful, wonderful. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you for saying that, by the way. You know, writing a book, as you mentioned, it is quite a journey. It really is. It's the pouring of your own soul and your heart, and a lot of healing takes place through the process of writing something like a memoir. And at the same time, it's not as easy as just going to a publisher. You know, it really is a process of courage and of letting go of ego. And letting, you know, trusting that when you write your life story like this, that it no longer belongs to you once it's released, that it's for a greater purpose. And so I really want to acknowledge the fact that, you know, you took the time to read this book because it has been a personal journey. And what you said was my greatest hope, is that people have a connection to it that they can own as their own journey. The story that I share inside A Million Fireflies really does start off from the escape that my family and I had to live through during the Vietnam era. We escaped in 1979, and I was only 4 years old at the time because my father was blacklisted, having worked as a humanitarian with the old government before the new government took over. And it took him 3 years to secretly plot a way for his entire family to leave the country unnoticed, across the Mekong River with one single boat, meeting with just, you know, moonlight and a compass, correct coordinates, where our relatives met us across in Thailand, put us in a produce truck, hit us to safety for a couple weeks, and then found our way to dig holes inside a barbed wire fence to get us safely to a refugee camp in Thailand. That's where the book begins.
And that is a lot, because I believe your mother was expecting at the time?
Yes, my mother was 7 months pregnant when we left with my brother, who was born inside a refugee camp in Thailand.
Oh, my. Oh, my. That's a lot to endure. And that's how your story begins. And the book is titled A Million Fireflies. Now, can you tell our listeners what does that mean and how, what references that hold for the book?
A Million Fireflies came to me actually one night when I was sitting, or basically getting ready to rest in a hospital room with my mother. As you know, having read the book now, I have had a lot of losses in my life, including the whole transition of identity and becoming, you know, into terms with this whole concept of being a Lao American and being okay with being both and not choosing one over the other, which I know we'll get into. But I have experienced the death of my late fiancé along with my nephew at a drowning accident when I was 27 years old. Basically less than 2 years later, I lost my own father to a three-week battle with cancer. We found out he was sick, and 3 weeks later, he basically left this earth. And there was a lot of trauma, and then I lost my best friend to suicide. And so, as you can imagine, this all happened within a five-year time period. It was just pain after pain after pain. And what that did was allowed me to really be in a place where I just didn't feel safe. I didn't feel like the world wasn't going to fall apart every time I felt that things were going well. And A Million Fireflies came to me when my mother was undergoing surgery on her back, and she was resting that night. And I heard the tick-tock of the clock, and I just was overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. Again and again and again, I had been losing people that I loved so unexpectedly, and I was just wondering if this was going to happen again, if Mom was going to make it through. And I got so angry at God, at the universe, and I just said, when was the last time I felt light? I felt whole. I felt free, that there was no pain or anger or frustration. And I laid down on the cot next to my mother, looked out the window, and I saw these twinkling stars, and an image immediately came to me to answer my own question. When I was a little child in my father's garden, collecting what felt like a million fireflies, that was the memory that came to me of the last time I felt light about life. And that was the inspiration and the title for the book.
That is amazing. And it's just, there are so many different things that we can touch on just through your experiences in the book. And it's like through the pages of your book, not only do you tell your story, but you also show your love for the pages in the book by giving us poetry as well.
Well, you know, there's a story behind that as well. I had every intention of my first book being a book of poetry, and I'll share why. When I was a teenager, I came on this earth via a natural poet, and if you read the book, you'll understand what I mean. I didn't know what poetry was. I was writing it before I even understood what a poet was, right? So I knew I know that it came from somewhere else for me to have been gifted with this at 12 years old, starting to write in my journal, which were never really journal entries, but which they just came through me as poetry or prose. And so it was a natural gift, and I loved it. It was my way to express myself. I was very private. I didn't want to burden anyone as a child because we had so much that was already burdensome in the world. And so I found myself going to my journals upon journals, of being able to express my deepest emotions through my poetry. And so that was always something that I didn't even know was a gift, because it just, I thought everybody did that. I just thought everybody processed that way.
Well, the way that I looked at the way the book, the way you had it laid out, it was like you were, you love your story, you love your life, no matter how tragic certain parts of it may have been. And through that love, I saw the poetry, and it was like you were showing the love that you have for yourself through the experience, through the poetry. But that's just how I was looking at it, and I was just amazed at the way it was all just so tied up so nicely together.
Thank you, and I will say that that is a great gift, and I'm so grateful for wonderful editors, wonderful book designers, people that really helped me. I mean, my job was to get to the core of my authentic self, which through the process of writing the book, I was on that journey. It wasn't like I knew all the answers or I knew the stories that, you know, that needed to be told. A lot of the stories came to me in the process of writing the book that I had put aside, that I had suppressed somehow because it's too painful. And so there was a lot of growth that happened, and I believe that what you were feeling when you read the book was truly because I was processing while I was writing. I was truly healing at times for the first time through some of the experiences that had happened already that I had kind of put away, you know. And poetry is such a beautiful way to express ourselves, but I learned through writing this book that poetry was still, there was still a layer of protection, because poetry is still some form of encryption for our truth, you know. And so being able to write in story form to tell myself the real truth of what happened as a memoir was a true challenge to myself, was finally really being absolutely honest with myself. And that was painful at times.
I'm pretty sure it was, because you have to, it's like you just open yourself up, not only to yourself, but to millions of people who are going to read your book, and you're exposed. And it's like you're just born again, so to speak, because there's nothing to hide anymore, because you put it all out there.
Yeah, so, and I really believe what I said is that, you know, once you put it out there, it's no longer yours. I mean, the stories and the frame of reference is yours, but to be able to put something this emotional and this raw out there, it's got to be attached to something greater. It's your story now. It's a gift for you now. It's your journey to do what you wish with what I put inside that book.
Okay, I have some construction going on behind me. So,
no problem.
Now, the thing that I thought was most interesting was how you wrestled with being from Laos and being American. How was that so difficult at a point?
Well, I think that at that time, you know, when I was a young child, I think that every child goes through this, whether you're from this country or immigrated, or if you've actually always been here your whole life. I mean, you know, children are brutally honest, because that's all we know. All we know is to really see what we see and feel what we feel and speak of it. And so, you know, growing up in retrospect, we say that it's children are cruel, but they're not. They're just more authentic and real than us adults that have been conditioned to kind of hold back or what have you. So I appreciate that now, but at the same time, you know, when you're going through this process of figuring out your place in the world, I lived in a neighborhood, mostly, you know, low income, typically Black and Hispanic, and there was really no one that looked like me. And I feel like this really scratches, crosses any borders of people feeling isolated and alone in the world. Not so much about color, just really feeling the isolation. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to even like myself when I was constantly being taunted or reminded of how ugly I was, or, you know, that I didn't belong there, and to go back to where you came from. And the trouble that I had with that as a child is I couldn't go back to where I came from because I would be killed. And so I had that struggle of, well, nobody wants me here, and my homeland didn't want me there, didn't want our family. So I really am alone. We are alone. And I had to really overcome that feeling of isolation, of not being wanted, not being accepted. And, you know, for a while, I didn't even like myself because I wished so much to belong somewhere. I wanted so much to fit in. And I think that happens to all of us in some form or another, the need to be connected to something, because that we're human and we desire that as humans.
Yeah, absolutely right. And there's not one person on this planet who cannot say that at some point in time in their life they felt like an outsider, like an outcast, so to speak. And you're right. You're so correct on that point. Now, what is it that you did to get through? Because some people, as you know, they're not strong enough to handle that kind of feeling or pressure, and they just kind of like go into deep depression, or they do some really serious things, and some of them even end their life. How were you able to pull yourself through to get to where you are?
You know, I think that we all have a special, unique gift, talent, and way in which we feel the most at peace with ourselves. I think there's an intuition button that we all came with, but I think over time, as fears and anxieties take over, we lose touch with our inner voice. And I really learned that I trusted that I had an inner voice. And for me, the way that I get through things, or I got through things and continue to get through things, is really to pause and to, for me, write. You know, whether it's writing poetry or writing music, that's my way of releasing. And so many people think that they have to do it a specific way. I don't believe that. I believe that we were all created differently. We are all wired differently, and we also all have different ways to release the negative energy and to move forward in our lives. I don't have all the answers. I know what's innate within me, and I feel so much better when I pause and I really, you know, talk to myself a lot, process that, and do that through my poetry, that release part. Some people like to exercise and run. Some people like to, you know, do peer groups or go out and play sports to get out that energy. However you process so that you feel at peace again, feel whole again, even if it's for a temporary moment in time, you have to do the exercise. It's an exercise to get you back to balance. You just don't wake up and say, okay, go back to balance now. Don't feel the pain anymore. It's work.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to do the work, and you have to be willing to find that way in which you best, feel what I like to say is simple, right? Just feel good in that moment. Find something. Find a way to just feel good in that moment about yourself. Self-love, self-nurture. And it does dissipate a lot of the anxiety and fear that a lot of times is just in our head.
Yes.
In our mind.
Yes. I say that all the time. You know, it's, we are our own worst or best enemy, or best friend or worst enemy.
Right.
Because we can speak ourselves into something, and we can also speak ourselves out of things as well. And it's so important. And for you, I mean, it must have been really difficult trying to, you know, make that transition, especially if your family, your familial heritage was rooted so deeply in your culture. How did they help you make the transition, or was it difficult making the transition with them because they too were struggling?
You know, they were struggling, and I have siblings, and they, you know, we all go on our own individual journeys. But I think that one of the things I would love to acknowledge, at least in my case, and I know that unfortunately it's not like this for everyone in the world, but I had the support of love. And I think that when you have love, whether you get it from bloodline or whether you get it from people that are out there in the community that really do have, they own love, they overflow with love, and they are willing and really desire to share the love, right? My family, through thick and thin, through whatever traumas, and, you know, we were very, very poor. We lived in poverty for a long time. But it was the love. No matter what, my parents always believed in us. No matter what, my siblings, I always trusted deep down in my soul that they would never abandon me if I ever needed them to go to. Doesn't mean that we didn't have hard times, that we always get along. That's not my point. But we're deep-rooted with a foundation of having love and guidance and support, that unconditional, you're never going to be alone. You will never starve. You will never be homeless. Just having that was my foundation for really being able to, at least at this point in my life, truly feel like I'm soaring, that I have this endless possibility mentality, that I've I've always been optimistic, but I think with all the trauma and the losses and the pain and also the joys and the rewards that we often don't really talk about, you know, I've learned that we have everything we need to feel good about life, to do good in the world, and to truly make an impact beyond ourselves. And I think that if we know that we can always find a safe place inside of ourselves, that we always can have a home inside of ourselves, and then having a support system that reminds you of that and validates that you're worthy, that you're smart, that you're beautiful, that you're all those things that, from a human standpoint, we all need, I think you have the golden key to living your most fulfilled life, whatever that means to you.
That is just so profound. And you have taken that love and those qualities that you were brought up in, and you've taken them abroad. My grandmother used to have a saying. She said that charity starts at home and charity spreads abroad. And you've done that because you have taken your company, Molly Creative, and you have given the opportunity to others. You share your love for what you do and what you believe in and how you believe in, I guess, the human qualities of each individual. And you go forth with that. You have had the opportunity to be a keynote speaker in organizations that many of us would never have the opportunity to do so because of that love. I mean, the Library of Congress, the Smithsonian. You're involved in so many different things, and you've even co-wrote a book. And it's just amazing how you have taken the opportunities to show love based on what you understand and know to others. Tell us a little bit about that. You're welcome.
You know, I think that the biggest lesson that I've learned through everything is, you know, first and foremost, it's very important to stay humble. And at the same time, there's a line that I've learned, because this is hard for me, you know, to shine the light that you were born with. And then over time you learn that maybe, you know, that light is too bright for other people. And somehow you own that as if that were your fault, that it's your responsibility to dim your light so that others can shine. I believe that. And I no longer believe that anymore. There's enough room and enough rays of light that need to go out in the world. We don't have to compete. You were made to be you. I was made to be me. The traumas and the tragedies and the triumphs and the rewards that we get, whatever I received was mine to receive. And at the same time, the lessons which I learned from that is mine to give. And this is where I am in my life. It's the give part. So, you know, it's really being able to be me, which is really hard because you've been conditioned that somehow you're not good enough, or who am I to think that I can do this or be that or be that? And once you really, you know, this is funny because I just watched this last night, The Matrix. I love that there is no spoon. I love that everything we believe is inside of our mind, and everything that we, limitations included, is inside of our head. And when we let go of all these limitations that don't serve us anymore, anything is possible. And the more and more I learn to love myself and to not worry whether or not someone else is dissatisfied with my unique light, and doing what I know that if I don't do, there's a lot of people in the world that need that light right now to guide them, then I'm doing a disservice by not being me. And that's the message I spread. And the only way and the only reason I've been able to do this in terms of speaking at the Smithsonian and, you know, co-writing that book with amazing authors, and I do have to at least acknowledge them, Akia Garnett, Tamika Bradshaw, Jane Lovis, we wrote a book called Seen and Sustained. The only reason I was able to be blessed with that opportunity is I finally stood up and said, I need to be me now. I need to be me. I need to serve with me, all of me, the real me. Not the pretend or not the facade. And that's the light. I want everyone to see, own, articulate, and release their unique light into the world. And for businesses, that's their unique differentiators, speaking directly to the specific market. And for individuals, that's to really help them align their truest gifts and passions and talents with their purpose. So really, I help people soar, and that's what that stands for. See, own, articulate, and release. Soar. I help people soar. It's very simplified terms, but it's my map. It's my true north. If I'm not helping people soar, I'm not living my calling.
Okay. Well, I have to give you a clap on that one. And the thing that I wanted to, you know, we all, as you say, we all have a special unique light, and we have special unique qualities and abilities. And when you decide that you want to tell your story, you just can't do it at 12 years old. What is a good time for you to even feel or think about telling your story, writing your memoirs? Because that takes a special time in your life. When do you know it's right?
You know what, I think it starts now. And telling your story, with what I've learned about this whole process is that because I'm a natural writer and I always knew deep down that I wanted to have a book of my own, it was very serendipitous and I think destined that I was going to write a book. But I believe every person is so special enough that we've just been, just it's social, economical, it's also just things that we've seen that really, you know, shape us, right? But every day we wake up and we can breathe air, we can start over again. We have free will as humans. We have to make those choices. And I don't believe that there's any perfect time to tell your story. You just start telling it. And telling your story, especially in the work that I do, is not always in the form of a book. It can be in the form of a song. It can be in a poem. It can be in through your music as a rapper, as a country music singer, as a folk singer, as a what opera singer. You just have to tell your story the way that feels at peace with who you are to the core. The book made sense for me, but not everybody can, you know, needs to tell their story in book form. People go on stage and they're professional speakers and they are authentically sharing their stories every day. The point is, you know, you have a special place in the world. And if you are not speaking up and telling your truth, there's a lot of people that are going to miss out on the real you. You might save a life by just sharing a story of how you've got through something that they just can't seem to get through. Just knowing that somebody else felt or went through, experienced something similar is enough. Is enough. And that's my message.
And I have to thank you for that message, because it is true. We do sometimes shy away from our true authentic selves, and we try to be what others think we should be, what we believe others perceive us to be, and what we believe we think others want us to be. And that's really funny, because the truth lies in what do you think and who are you really? And how much of it are you really, really willing to show? And you are, you know, you've touched on all of those specific areas that you can't, in order for us to bless the world with our gifts and unique talents and abilities, we have to be as true to ourselves as we possibly can be. And this is what I've gotten from your book. This is what I'm getting from our conversation right now. And it needs to be said. And I thank you.
Thank you so much. And I will say one thing for those that are really taking this all in. Becoming you again, or, you know, designing a new you, the authentic you, whichever way you want to look at it, it is not easy. So please don't think that, you know, it's tough and it's too hard and you'll just go back to the way it was because it was just comfortable and then I can do that because I've done it all my life. If it's uncomfortable, then it's right. You know, I had a wonderful mentor tell me once, if you're not doing at least one thing that makes you uncomfortable, you know, then that day, you're not growing that day. And I take that to heart. Every time I feel this, you know, feeling of, you know, just not being comfortable or something that is outside of my comfort zone, I know that I've got to face it and really do something that's going to alleviate that, you know. And sometimes that means really doing it anyway, right, even if you're scared of it. And I think that's really important for people to know that this journey for me hasn't been easy, and it's still not easy. There are going to be people who have been used to the story that you've told yourself that has been the truth of you for so long that you've lived that way, and now that you're uncovering all these things that really, truly have never really been to the core of who you are, you're going to lose friends. You're going to lose, and maybe they're not real friends if they don't stay with you. You're going to lose people that have become accustomed to who you were and no longer able to really understand who you are. And you got to know that that's going to happen. But you can't be afraid if you know that being who you are, truly, first and foremost, is going to set you free. And once you set yourself free, then you have this overflow that you can give to the world of whatever that special, unique gift or purpose you have. But first, you have to set yourself free.
Oh, it seems like when you're saying this, I'm envisioning peeling an orange, that you peel off the orange to get to the layer, the core of the orange, which has the most important part to you. It's the juiciest, the most tasty part of the orange. And in some cases, depending on the use of the orange, you discard it or you reuse it. So that's just like what you're saying, getting to the core of who you are. There are parts of you that will be discarded, and there are parts of you that will be reused as you get to the core of who you really are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I had a hard time stepping into where I believe, and I'm still a work in progress. There's so many areas that come up and fears still creep up every once in a while, but I've learned now to take a little longer to pause and ask myself, is this fear or is this intuition? Because they feel very similar. They feel very similar. And sometimes I'm like, oh, my gosh, is this old stuff that's coming up, or is this really me, you know, the true me telling me the truth of what is? And that's really hard to distinguish. So, you know, everything that's difficult takes practice. So I've been practicing to listen to my intuition, and I don't always get it right. But if I practice enough, which I have been doing over the last 3 or 4 years, really practicing to truly hear myself think, to truly understand that this is my old subconscious mind telling me something that's familiar from a past experience, or is this a new, true me looking at this current, present-day situation and moving forward with something that is real in this moment? And I'm not quite there yet, but at least I know to pause now, which makes all the difference in the world in terms of how I operate and how my vibration, I'm a big energy person, how I, you know, exude my energy, where I place my energy, and I'm not exhausted all the time anymore. And I actually can sleep at night, which I had a very hard time doing before. It changes everything when you just pause.
Oh, yes, indeed. I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I also agree with you when you say you have to ask yourself, is this the old me? Especially in certain situations where you feel uncomfortable. You always kind of, I know that for myself, I kind of revert to that old way of thinking, especially when I'm in like a unique situation and I'm not really sure. I revert to that old way of thinking, and I have to catch myself and realize that this is a different situation, so there's going to be a different outcome, so you have to think differently in regards to this. So I agree with you on that point.
Thank you. I find that, too, when I'm working with clients, I do workshops and retreats, and I also do one-on-one coaching around this whole messaging from the heart, which really means just getting to the core of who you are so you can articulate that to the world, you know. So my clients do vary with different backgrounds and, you know, whether they're business owners or just everyday people really trying to understand their place in the world. Really, it's that simple when they come to me. What I learned that every decision we make is based on that philosophy of whether this is my intuition or whether this is my fear from the past or worries from the past. And I find that 90% of the time it's old stuff because we didn't pause enough to really, you know, be self-aware and say, wow, where am I? And I find this also with clients that are in new relationships. And sometimes we self-sabotage. I've done this myself. It's not just my clients. Let's get real. I've done this myself. And you think that, you know, your decision in the moment is based on what's really in front of you. But a lot of that is happening in the back of your mind. I mean, literally in your subconscious realm, making decisions already before the front of your mind could react, you know. And it's based on some old relationship that you had or a familiar feeling that was too scary for you. And you base your current decision with this current relationship, and it's not fair to the other person. So it's really important to truly become aware and then sit and pause and be honest with yourself before you make a decision.
I agree with you there. I'm like, something I really need to hold on to and take heart to as well. And that's excellent. You say you do one-on-one counseling. Where do you do this and how?
So as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's an acronym that I use, and it's SOAR. So see and own is really helping people see and own their unique gifts and talents in the world. And I do that through sometimes corporate retreats or personal development retreats where people just anybody, not just people who own businesses or leaders inside corporations, but I help them see their unique gifts and talents, own it. So it's all these exercises that we go through to really claim who we are, to speak it out loud. To, you know, there's a lot of neurological things that have to happen to retrain our brains. So that is also a part of this journey of helping people soar. And then the articulation piece, so that happens through retreats and workshops. I work with youth as well. I just launched a youth workshop because I feel like if we can get to our children and reminding them and teaching them very early on that they are unique and they are special and there's nothing wrong and they're perfectly imperfect as humans, then I think that we'll have a lot fewer, and my hope is we'll have a lot fewer adults coming to my retreats and asking me, what's my purpose and why am I special? You know, so I decided to launch that program this year. It's called a Unique Fireflies Workshop for Children. But that's really what I do. And then the articulation part is really helping people through my gift as a writer. I also do a lot of copywriting. So for businesses that are really struggling because they don't know how to really articulate themselves, I help them map that out through a vision and mission mapping process, that the Seen and Sustained book that you mentioned. We talk about that mapping process for our clients. And then really just help them share their uniqueness to the world and to the market and release that in a way of being able to help them, whether it's through branding, whether it's through them just being able to speak it more consistently, their truth of who they are. So it does, and there are some clients that don't want to go to the retreats or workshops. They really just, they're still on a journey where they want to do this, and it has to be private for them to feel safe, and that's when the one-on-one coaching takes place.
Now, how can people find you if they want to just talk to you, touch base with you, learn more, or participate in some of your events?
Well, they can reach me on my website. There's tons of information there about both of the books that we mentioned tonight. Also, the type of work that I do, it's all listed there, and it's Malik Creative, M-A-L-I, Creative, all one word, .com. I'm also all over social media because as a messaging strategist, I also do a lot of social media development and messaging for my clients. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it. They can just simply Google me and they'll find me.
That is excellent. I'm looking at your website now as we talk, and it is filled with so much information. Have you done so much in so many different ways? And I guess you are really helping a lot of people find their own firefly, so to speak.
Yeah, and not only find themselves and see themselves as light, but also release their light so that other fireflies can be set free. And it's really just being able to truly be myself and asking other people to be themselves wherever they are. I'm not asking you to be perfect or become something you're not right now. I'm asking you to get on the journey of who you really, like finding out who you really are or being who you really are. We already know who we are. We may just be afraid to show up.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That is so true. That is true. We know who we are, but we're afraid to show up. And they're waiting for us, too. We have an audience waiting for us to show up, and sometimes we can't figure out why they're there.
There is somebody out there for everybody. And you know what? If you really are sharing your gifts, sharing your talents, living your life passionately, just being who you are, there's a flow that happens. And there's going to be a tribe of people out there in the world who are just waiting to feel connected to you. Doesn't necessarily even mean that you have to be a guide or a teacher or a coach or, you know, someone who's giving service. they just want to be around your energy and know that they're not alone in the world. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't mean you have to be a politician or a leader or whatever it is that you attach success to. I mean, just being you is a huge task, believe it or not. And at the same time, once you really start to practice that and be yourself, it is the most freeing thing you will ever do. You won't ever have to justify or pretend anymore. How liberating is that?
That is extremely liberating, and it's a place where we all need to visit, because doing what I'm doing now with the radio show and the different segments that I've created with the help of my team, we have found ourselves going on a journey as well. And it is taking, I mean, it's just an amazing journey, and we're learning so much about each other as we learn about the people that we have as guests like yourself and the listeners who contact us to let us know how they appreciate the fact that we discussed a particular topic or they enjoyed listening to some music that we played. So, and we're just being ourselves, and we see that there are a lot of people out there who are enjoying it. And I really understand what you're saying, and I honestly believe that when we are being who we are supposed to be, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun.
I think the biggest message, and you said it when you talked about your program, is that we're all created to be somebody's channel. We all created to be somebody, something to somebody. And when we don't place too much emphasis on that, but just have a trust, you just have to know that there's somebody in the world, whether you meet them or ever or not, that they're being impacted just by merely your existence. And so wouldn't it be even more powerful to show up as how you were supposed to and how you were meant to all along? I mean, I just feel like it seems so simple to say I know, and I'm not saying it's simple, because it's a hard journey. It's a hard journey because there's a lot of people who don't even, you know, like me saying this. There's going to be people, there's going to be half the world that love and appreciate you so much for stepping up and saying, you know what, it doesn't matter if you like me or not. You know, I just have to be myself, and at least respect me for that. There's the other half of the world that, because of where they are, and I don't take it personally. They're not where I'm at, and it's not right or wrong, but they're not going to be interested. They're not meant to be a part of my world right now, if ever. And I have to be okay with that. And that's hard, because I'm a giver and I'm a people pleaser and I want everyone to be happy and I want peace in the world. And it's hard when you know that certain people won't appreciate you being you. They'd rather you be somebody else right now, because it's just, oh, it's too much. This girl's too much for me, you know? But that's okay. That's okay, because there's somebody else at the same time saying, she is perfect for me. She's exactly what I need, what I want right now in this very moment. I needed to hear her tonight. And that's where I have to focus my energy.
Yes, yes, indeed. Oh, thank you so much. This has just been such an amazing journey, because I got to read your book. And
thank you for doing that, too. Thank you so much for taking the time
welcome.
To do that. And in fact, I want your audience to know that you actually pushed back our interview date by 1 week, because you wanted to read the book first, and I just love that, and I want to acknowledge you for that, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I just feel that if I want to be able to connect with you, I have to know something about you, and the book was the best way to be able to do it, so that we could have this type of dialogue as opposed to me asking you 50 questions and you answering 50 questions. I really don't get to, my listeners don't get to know you if it's just straight asking questions. They get to understand you and get to really feel you if I have a better understanding of who you are.
Well, thank you for taking the time. It means a lot to me. And I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity, for you saying yes, you would like me to be on the show. So it is beyond gratitude. You're definitely going into my gratitude log tonight.
Thank you, and I appreciate you coming on the show, because you did have a special message, not only for me, but for my listeners, because of the fact that, as you know, we're going through some turbulent times now, and people need something to keep them focused on what's good and moving forward into a positive direction, because there's so much negativity all around us. Everywhere you look, it's something that will keep you feeling as if you shouldn't move forward, that you should just wait a little longer, that now's not the right time. But your message is just saying, be it, do it. The world is waiting for you.
Yeah, and if you're in a dark place, just trust. And if you look close enough, you'll see fireflies everywhere.
Oh,
you know, they exist. They are there. The light is there. Sometimes we're so filled with darkness that we don't see it. We could have 10 or 10 million in front of us, and we won't see it. So just pay attention and pause and just be so grateful for the miracle that you're still alive. You still have time to do what it is that you're supposed to do. So do it while you have time. Be the blessing, you know. It's a miracle to be alive. It took a lot for you to be in existence.
That is true, and that is just so true. And I just want to thank you. And if you ever want to come back, please, it would be an honor to have you back on the show.
I'll come back as soon as you tell me when. Thank you so much for this experience. It was wonderful, and I loved your question.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and it was a joy and a pleasure having you. And please, feel free. We're here all the time, and we have a specific segment. We have several different segments, but there's one segment that we have that I think it would be good for you to come on, and it's called Paradigm Shifters, and they talk about principles for life and success. And you would be a great addition to one of our segments whenever you have the opportunity. So we would love to have you back on that particular segment as well.
I would be honored. Thank you. Thank you so much for tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome, and you have a great evening. And, once again, please give us the titles of your book so that people can go out, they can buy the book, and they can be enlightened.
Sure. My memoir is called A Million Fireflies. Just be on the lookout for your fireflies wherever you are in the world. And then my other book is Seen and Sustained, and that is to help people communicate more effectively their uniqueness in the world.
Great. Thank you. So I'm going to say it one last time. This is Molly from Pandas.
Yes. Thank you.
I told you I would get it. And she is just an amazing individual, and I'm so blessed to have this opportunity, and I know my listeners will be as well. So I want to wish each and every one of my listeners a wonderful evening and thank them for their continued support. Be well and be safe. Good night.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.